And breaking news tonight, the deadly siege on Congress as an angry pro-Trump mob storms the U.S. Capitol. We've seen shocking images of chaos, rioters rushing past barricades and police up the Capitol steps, forcing their way inside. Both the House and the Senate evacuated. Lawmakers moved to safe locations. The invaders roaming the abandoned Senate floor, one hanging from the balcony. Police with guns drawn inside the House.
Hey guys, it's Aria, and welcome back to another episode of Fembolden. In this play-by-play, we will be breaking down what happened at our nation's capital on January 6, 2021.
Yeah, so this Wednesday definitely had me feeling all types of ways. I didn't even know what was happening until people started texting me, like, bro, like, do you see what's going on at the Capitol? I was just like, what? Like, what is this? And then I looked it up, and I was just, like, I wasn't surprised. I really wasn't surprised, but I just didn't think it would ever go that far. Like, I didn't think they would be able to get in and vandalize the nation's capital. Like, that's just not something I feel like I'd witness, like, in this time, and I feel like it was a really big breaking point and turning point for our country.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that this year has been so unprecedented and so unpredictable, as we've said in so many other previous episodes. And I just remember I was sitting downstairs with my parents, you know, on the couch, watching the news, witnessing this happen. And it was surreal because my father had been predicting it. He was like, this is gonna happen, because he had heard about it from so many other sources that they were planning this siege on the United States Capitol. And of course, no one thought that it was actually going to go through, especially because it was so planned. No one thought that it would be able to reach the magnitude that it did, and that they would be able to enter the capital of the United States with no security briefings, nothing, just break into the Capitol, take pictures on Nancy Pelosi's desk and steal her mail, act like they were at Disney World practically, and just behave in the manner that they did. No one believed that this would ever be possible, especially in 2021. Now, of course, it's a separate year from 2020, but also, as we spoke about in the previous episode, we have to stop talking about 2020 like it was some magical, unbelievable year, and as though there weren't events that led up to that. And I think that the spillover into 2021 is a direct result, of the negligence and lack of action put into place in 2020. Not only by our president, but by all people in the United States. And I just think that this gross display of white supremacy was unbelievable, to say the least. And honestly, what was more unbelievable was the lack of security, like I said, implemented by our national government in a plan.
So I want to know from the Capitol Hill police, what is it? Is it just white people? Or is it Donald Trump supporters? Why do you scream at people for walking across the street three blocks away from the Capitol? Why are you known as badasses around the Capitol? But then Trump supporters come in and you open the fucking doors for them. You open the doors for them and let them breach the people's house.
Exactly, and I'm not surprised at all by the response towards these people from the police. They were basically allowed to walk in, and we all know that this would have been a different story had they been people of color. This really digs deep into the racism, the institutionalized racism that has been rooted in our country's government since it was created and founded. And you can easily see the differences in the police's response towards the peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters during the summer and the rioters at the Capitol. The rioters were basically unscathed, while BLM protesters were met with abundant amounts of tear gas, rubber pellets, and extreme aggression from the police. This difference just exhibits the privilege that white people have benefited from for centuries.
Absolutely. So here we have this dichotomy that couldn't be any clearer. White terrorists were met with open arms and photo ops, as you said, as they raided the capital of the United States, while black and brown peaceful protesters fighting for their lives during the BLM protests were attacked and tear gassed. White privilege exists. Systemic racism exists. Injustice exists. And I'm sick of hearing arguments that refute any of these claims. These things couldn't be any clearer, especially after witnessing the events of January 6th. And what is more appalling is that the President of the United States, our own president, encouraged this insurrection, and Senators Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley actively fundraised and supported an act of terrorism on the U.S. This was all because of a quote-unquote fraudulent election. So this act of terrorism was not only a last-minute and feeble attempt to postpone Biden's inauguration, as we all know, but it was a gross display of the systemic and normalized white supremacy in the U.S.
Exactly. And to piggyback off of what you said about the president, he encouraged this. When Trump addressed the Black Lives Matter protesting, in which people of color were fighting to be heard, he referred to them as thugs and threatened them with aggression. When addressing the white nationalist who vandalized the government and disrupted Trump's self-proclaimed law and order, he was considerate and genuine. The bias is evident.
You have to go home now. We have to have peace. We love you. You're very special.
And really, this insurrection just divided the Republican and Trump party even further, right? Because not only were they divided when they lost the Senate seats in Georgia because Trump claimed that there was a fraudulent election, which inclined voters to not vote, because why would people vote in a fraudulent election? Like, why would they devote their time to voting into something that they believe isn't going to benefit them anyway, right? And so we already had that divide. We already had the previous divide of the conservative Republicans who denounced Trump and his racism because they believe that this isn't what the Republican Party should stand for, right? So we already have this great divide in the Republican Party, but it was even further amplified as a result of this insurrection that Trump again encouraged and refused to denounce until he was advised to, because he is going to be impeached and removed from office if he hadn't done so. And he still should, as of right now, don't get me wrong. But they were divided because many Republicans that used to, you know, revere Trump and agree with his policies and support him as a person believe that this act of terrorism is inexcusable, and for him as a president of the United States to encourage that is kind of, as the saying goes, a straw that broke the camel's back. Because over the past 4 years, Trump has completely destroyed the U.S., destroyed the foundations from which the U.S. was built upon, and those foundations weren't even very strong to begin with, and he's divided this entire country. Trump has so much blood on his hands, from the hundreds of thousands of people who have died from COVID-19 to the 4 people that died as a result of his negligence and encouraging a siege on the capital of the United States.
Right, and it's just sad to think that the President of the United States is actually like condoning this behavior. And it's even more upsetting to me is just the way that he addressed them. It's like he didn't even try to cover up the fact that he is literally a white supremacist. Like, he was just like, all right guys, love you, go home. Like that just makes me feel so unsafe and so disregarded as a black woman in this society, just watching that happen, watching that play out. And I was also watching it with my parents, and like we just had a really like good discussions on where this like will take us. And I feel like moving on and looking at this in the future, this can't happen again. Like, our government cannot get to this point again, and I feel like this really showed us where America is and like where we need to head.
Exactly. So, like I said, as a result of negligence, systemic racism, and an incompetent president, 4 people lost their lives, our Capitol was attacked, and white privilege was further unveiled. So yes, Black Lives Matter, Biden won the election, racism still very much exists, and Trump must be impeached and removed from office before any further damage can be done. And so in times of despair like this, I'm reminded of Valerie Kaur's thought-provoking question, and I encourage our listeners to...
What if this darkness is not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb? Woo. What if our America... What if the story of America is one long labor? What if all of our grandfathers and grandmothers are standing behind us now, those who survived occupation and genocide, slavery and Jim Crow, detentions and political assault? What if they're whispering in our ear today, tonight, you are brave? What if this is our nation's great transition?
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Stay tuned, and for more from Bolden News, check out our website at www.fembolden.org.
Remember, we see you, we hear you, we are you. You are not alone.